Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
From KQED.
I'm Erica Cruz Guevara, and welcome to The Bay. Local news to keep you rooted. When the police hurt or kill someone, the public has a right to know what happened. But in many cases, the police's story is carefully crafted to protect officers. In fact, in California, it's often done with the help of a Vacaville-based PR firm known as Cole Pro Media.
When it came to the bad news, I found that they were often either writing excuses or they were advising departments just not to talk about it at all.
Today, the Vacaville PR firm helping police craft false or incomplete narratives across California.
Support for KQED podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions, online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
CoPro Media is a public relations firm that was founded by a former TV journalist named Laura Cole in 2014, and it's based in Vacaville.
Scott Morris is an investigative reporter with the Vallejo Sun. He reported this story in partnership with The Appeal.
It's a company that provides, you know, services for communications, has a big emphasis on social media and drafting Facebook posts and things like that, but it also works as a crisis consultant.
What kind of company does Cole Pro Media bill itself as?
Cole Pro Media bills itself as a transparency engagement firm, and so they say that they're here to help police departments and government agencies bring their message to people without spin and just the facts. And we're going to make sure that, you know, the right information reaches the people. Their consultants, the people who are assigned to work with the departments, are not called consultants. They're called transparency engagement advisors. So this is kind of a rhetorical idea that they use to kind of say that their services are actually bringing transparency to these departments.
And how did you first start to notice what this company does?
So I've been covering police shootings and police cases for a long time. In 2019, California enacted a new transparency law, AB 748, which required the release of body camera footage. And so, you know, that changed transparency pretty significantly in California. But then as new body camera footage started being released, I started noticing that it was often coming out as kind of these packages, and they all kind of looked very similar.
Hello, I am Mark Kohler, Chief of Police of the Hayward Police Department.
Hello, I'm Riverside Police Chief Larry Gonzalez.
Hello, I'm Vallejo Police Chief Shawnee Williams.
This critical incident community briefing is intended to provide you with information about an officer-involved shooting.
And I'm here to talk to you about a critical incident involving our officers that occurred on Sunday, February 21st.
I want to talk to you about a critical incident, an officer-involved shooting we had in the early morning hours of June 2nd. It followed a day of large...
I just looked at this and I said, somebody's doing this. Somebody's making this. I was just talking to other journalists about it, and other people have been noticing the same thing. And eventually one of them, you know, pointed me to and said, it's Cole Pro Media. I got very curious about their operations. So I went through and found as many of those videos as I could and compiled a list of what I thought their clients were. And I submitted public records requests to each of those departments for all the emails with this company.
What did you find?
I found a lot of things, you know, a lot of what they're doing was, you know, very routine, but it was always this big emphasis they had on pushing good news through social media channels on Facebook, you know, and they would help craft posts about, you know, things like a police officer saving a kitten or highlighting employees who work behind the scenes. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, but they had an idea of kind of just relentlessly pushing the good news. And then when it came to the bad news, I found that they were often either writing excuses or they were advising departments just not to talk about it at all and just to not directly confront problems that they were facing.
So you mentioned there's kind of the social media, kind of PR messaging side, and then there's also the critical incident video side. Let's talk about the crisis messaging part of this first. What does that exactly look like? And can you give me an example?
Yeah, in Pittsburgh, you know, they hired CallPro Media, and the chief was really excited about it. And he said he was excited about bringing, quote unquote, our message to the community and not relying on the mainstream media. CallPro Media helped them with a few different shootings and body cam release videos and things like that. But when it came to fairly significant settlement of $7.3 million for a death in 2016 from using a carotid restraint, which is kind of like a chokehold, you know, and when reporters went back to them and asked them for comment on this, you know, very large settlement the city was paying because of the police actions, CallPro Media's advice was, I just don't say anything unless you get a lot of pushback on your social media. If your social media isn't blowing up, then, you know, it's not necessarily worth talking about, because you could just amplify it more if you were to, you know, make a comment on it. I mean, this is a tried and true PR method, right? Like, it's true. You can amplify something by responding to it, but this is also a public agency that is ostensibly accountable to taxpayers, voters. You know, the lawsuit did reveal what the attorneys there said were structural problems. In fact, the judge acknowledged that there were structural problems in the training and the policy ahead of that death and that led to that death. And given that, there was just kind of no acknowledgement of whether or not the department had done anything wrong and why it was paying this, you know, quite large settlement.
After a PR crisis, like when an officer has killed someone, CallPro Media also helps law enforcement actively shape the narrative of what happened through writing press releases and helping prep officers for interviews with journalists. Oftentimes, this messaging is crafted while an investigation into what actually went down is ongoing. And even when there is some information readily available for release to the public, like body camera footage, CallPro has a hand in shaping that too. There's also the part with these critical incident videos. What exactly does Laura Cole's company do with body camera footage after a police shooting?
So the critical incident videos kind of follow a pretty distinctive pattern. They typically will open with the chief or the sheriff of the department.
Hello, I'm Vallejo Police Chief Shawnee Williams. I want to talk to you about a critical incident, an officer-involved shooting we had in the early morning hours of June 2nd. It followed a day of largely...
First, they'll explain that, you know, they're releasing things because they want to be transparent, and then they'll go through kind of a narrative of what happened.
But at night, there were a significant number of lootings, vehicle pursuits, and shootings in multiple cities, including Vallejo. At about 10:50 on the night of June 1st...
And a lot of times, they'll be kind of extra... materials added to that. They'll use Google Maps to show you where it happened. You play some of the 911 audio, you know, and all of this, it can take about 10 minutes sometimes to actually get to body camera video.
We will now share with you body worn camera video from the detective's dispatch audio and other materials in this case in an effort to share as much information with our community as possible. A warning. This video contains disturbing images.
Sometimes the video doesn't really show what the police chief says. And a very good example of this is the Vallejo Police Department shooting of Sean Monterosa last year.
One of our detectives described what he believed was 22-year-old Sean Monterosa turning towards the officers in a crouching down, half-kneeling position, as if in preparation to shoot. At the same time,
the chief had said in his initial statement, described the actions that Sean Monterosa had taken just before he was shot.
At the same time, the detective saw Mr. Monterosa move his hands towards his waist area and grab what appeared to be the butt of a handgun. That object sticking out.
When you see the body camera video, when that's played, you don't see Sean in those videos. There's no video of what Sean was doing before he died. All you see is three detectives in a truck, and then one of them shoots five times through the windshield of the truck. But what's beyond that windshield is impossible to see in these videos.
So in other words, there's a lot of crafting of a narrative that maybe isn't even shown or isn't even evidenced through the videos that they're actually showing. I mean, how is releasing something like this, like a packaged video that's kind of crafted and edited by a company like Colpro Media, how is that different from just getting the raw body camera footage?
The videos that are released through this are very limited and not usually the full extent of what's releasable under the law, because you can, you know, maybe they'll only show one or two officers' vantage points, but maybe there was five officers there who saw it. You know, there's video potentially of what led up to it that may not be included. There's video of, you know, what happened immediately afterwards. Agencies are almost using Colpro services to kind of skirt transparency law, because in particular with these critical incident videos, they will put these out and then they'll say that now they've fully complied with the law as far as what they have to release. It appears to be an attempt to take the role of crafting narratives away from journalists and the public themselves, and to then have this video that's, you know, explains it all and says, well, here's the video and here's the evidence, and we're going to tell you how to interpret that, instead of putting out the raw material and letting people make up their own minds about what happened.
Colpro's list of clients includes law enforcement agencies all over the Bay, including county sheriffs in Sonoma and Solano counties, and police departments in Concord, Hayward, San Leandro, Oakland, San Rafael, Menlo Park, Vallejo, and Vacaville. Their work has even expanded to district attorney's offices like in Riverside County, even though DAs are supposed to be the ones investigating officers who hurt someone on the job. Right now, it seems like many law enforcement agencies like what Colpro Media has to offer. Is business picking up for them?
It appears to be. Critical incident videos in particular has been very successful. You know, the East Bay Times reported earlier this year that they had more than 100 clients in California alone. But I also know that they have been kind of advertising and pitching their services to agencies beyond California. Laura Cole, the founder of the company, has spoken at national conferences, has gone to, you know, major city chiefs associations and other, you know, very large law enforcement gatherings to kind of sell and serve services and her message about how police should be handling public relations.
Yeah, I mean, why do you think that is, that a company like Colpro Media is doing so well right now? I mean, I'm just thinking they seem to benefit a lot when there is pressure from the public on police accountability, perhaps because these law enforcement agencies are worried about how the public views them.
There's certainly been a lot of backlash against police departments in the last couple of years, and, you know, particularly since George Floyd was murdered. You know, and I think that a lot of times police don't see that as anything that is wrong with policing, but they see it as something that's wrong with the messaging. They see that as, you know, they blame journalists. They say that there's a biased media that's just out to get them. And so I think that perception, that attitude, you know, is exploited by a public relations company that would say, hey, well, we can help you turn that over. We can help. And that's why they have the big emphasis on amplifying good news, on bringing, you know, the good work that our officers are doing to light instead of always focusing on bad news, because that's something you hear police about. Why do you focus on bad news when we do so much good work? You should talk about the good work we do instead. This is kind of a common refrain. And so I've seen in emails that, you know, yeah, ColePro Media particularly pitches its services following the murder of George Floyd and saying that, you know, with all of the attention put on police departments, hey, you need somebody to kind of help you with your messaging.
I know you spent a year making these public records requests about ColePro Media's work here in the Bay Area, and that not everyone got back to you. So I'm wondering what questions remain for you about who is using ColePro services here in the Bay.
I would like to see kind of a more thorough, complete list of who is using their services. And unfortunately, that is something that would have to come from the company, and the company is not subject to the Public Records Act, despite the fact that it almost entirely does government business. And, you know, a lot of agencies really did stonewall me on getting these communications. And, you know, I was able to kind of successfully argue with some of them to release them. Some of them said they didn't have anything, and then later they did. Some of them made some pretty dubious legal arguments, and I kind of gotten back and forth on that. And, you know, some of them just kind of blew it off. For example, the Oakland Police Department has not provided communications. I've still got an open request there. You know, I know that Critical Incident Videos worked on a video for them last year, but as far as like the larger relationship they have with this firm, I have no idea. The Solano County District Attorney's Office is also using ColePro Media at this point. And, you know, like the Riverside DA, I don't know what their communications look like, because they told me flat out that they don't think they have to release any of that under the law.
Last question for you, Scott. Why is it important that the public know about the role of this PR company in Vacaville, which has its fingerprints all over California?
Firms like ColePro Media and kind of how police shape narratives, you know, just kind of affects how people perceive the news and information all over the place. This stuff goes out to journalists, and journalists repeat it, or it goes on Facebook and people see it on Facebook. And so it's important, I think, to understand structurally what's happening here. There's always much more going on behind the scenes, and if people can kind of recognize kind of somehow some of these stories are shaped and how this comes to light, it can make them a little bit more critical. Obviously, that there's police departments that have sought to kind of cover up their activities for a long time, and that's not necessarily new, but this is something where you've got a public relations firm that's kind of stepping in and saying, don't be transparent. Don't put the facts out there that as if you have them, and even coming up with lines that maybe draw conclusions where conclusions shouldn't be drawn yet.
Scott, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks to Scott Morris, an investigative reporter with the Vallejo Sun, who reported this story in partnership with The Appeal. We'll leave you a link to Scott's full story in our show notes. Scott reached out to Laura Cole, but she did not respond to an interview request, a phone call, or questions via email. This episode of The Bay was produced by Alan Montesilio, who cut this episode, and Carlos Cabrera Lomeli, who added the tape. I'm Erica Cruz Guevara. Thank you so much for listening. If you like our show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people find our show. Talk to you next time.